Yes, he is. No need in fighting in this battle. The battle is not yours. It belongs to God. I know you've been trying to figure out how you're going to beat this. I know you've been trying to figure out how you're going to attack this and how you're going to strategize this. But the only strategy I'm suggesting is to worship. What position am I to get in to defeat this enemy? You get in worship style. However you worship, that's how you go. That's how you defeat. That's how you overcome. I'm going to worship the Lord. And when I worship God, he's going to set up an ambushment. You see, your enemy is expecting you to fall. They're not expecting to fall themselves. But God has a plan. I have not seen, ear have not heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for him, but is revealed by his Spirit. The only way we'll know it is if we get in worship. Get in the Spirit. Get in the Spirit. We have to war by worship. Whatever's worrying you, whatever's afflicting you, whatever rebellion has risen up against your life, you need to worship God. And when you worship him, he'll take care of whatever the situation is. Don't stress because you're in Barak. You're in the valley of blessing. You're in the valley of blessing. Don't stress. The blessing is right there. It's right.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Matthew chapter 28 and verse 6 simply says, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Bless the name of the Lord. You may be seated in his presence. I'm not through with this text. Those of you who are cognizant of our message on last year, I spoke from this subject. Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive. Is Jesus alive in you? And I gave you five important reasons to know whether or not he was alive in you. But not being finished with the text, I love how the Spirit of God deals with us. One of the things Isaiah says in the 28th chapter, can we make some adjustments, please? Too much reverb. Isaiah 28:10 says, for there must be precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. What is that talking about? God doesn't give you the revelation all at once. It's not a one and done situation. That's why we've got to recognize that he's never through talking to us in his word. He's never through showing us stuff in his word. He's never through revealing things in his word. This word is alive. Listen, I want to talk about why did Jesus rise? He rose. We sing it every Easter, resurrection, Sunday morning. He rose. He rose. He rose from the dead. But there are people who sit out in the audience and don't know why he rose. And Easter becomes old and it becomes traditional rather than exciting and real to the believer, because we don't realize the relevance of why he rose. And I want to introduce three very fundamental, basic, core reasons. Yes, there are multiple upon multiple reasons for why he rose. But I want to give you three main reasons. Would that be helpful with you, for you this morning, to know why he rose, so you can say, somebody say, well, he rose, why did he rise? What would you tell him? Well, I'm going to tell you what to tell him. First thing I need you to know, and I want to take you through a word perspective of why Jesus rose. First thing I need you to know is he rose to prove his prophetic fulfillment of his crucifixion and resurrection. One, he rose to prove his prophetic fulfillment of his crucifixion and resurrection. What does that mean? First of all of the prophecies concerning Jesus, the one that Jesus spoke concerning himself was perhaps the most prolific and profound prophecy. He made clear all of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all speak of the prophecies of Jesus speaking himself about his own crucifixion, his own death, his own burial, and his own resurrection before it happened. But no other writer addresses this issue quite like Mark's gospel does. Mark shares three different illustrations of Jesus' prophecy concerning his crucifixion and resurrection. Mark 8 chapter verse 31. It talks about his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. But in Mark 9:31, he progressively goes further. Now he talks about those in whose hands he would be delivered to be crucified, die, and rise again. But then the third time he talks about this in Mark chapter 10, verse 32 through verse 34. And this time, he's giving deep and wonderful details about the experience of his crucifixion, his death, burial, and resurrection. Mark gives you a progressive journey of how this thing is unfolding as Jesus got closer to Calvary. Now, why is that important? It's important because we need you to know that Jesus knew that he was going to die for the salvation of mankind. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't something that just happened. Jesus came to die. And as a matter of fact, because he came to die, he knew when his time was to die. He was ready to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And my brothers and sisters, he wanted us to know that he knew what he was doing so that we could celebrate him when he did it, understanding that there was no one else who could do what Jesus did. So we need to know he rose to prove his prophetic fulfillment of his crucifixion and resurrection. Two, he rose to point to his purpose on planet Earth while he lived to the end of the ages, past, present, and potentially or perpetually. Why is this important? Because what Jesus did one time, the effects of that is continual. Just as Hebrews point out Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, his purpose is past, present, and potential or perpetual. Let me help you understand this. What was Jesus' purpose? Well, let's take you through the word. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." So that tells me, first of all, that Christ's purpose on planet Earth was to be a mediator. A mediator. What is a mediator? He's one who goes between two parties to negotiate an agreement that's satisfactory for both ends. He is our mediator. Now, let me help you understand that he knew his purpose as a mediator. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, "For all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation." Listen now. Jesus has reconciled us. So what does that tell us? I need you to know, as a mediator, three things he was responsible for doing. One, for redeeming us from sin. Two, for reconciling us to God. And three, restoring a right relationship between us and God and us and man. That meant restoring the relationship was an ongoing process that he is yet doing right now. How many of you know God is still working on you through Jesus right now? He is restoring the relationship. He is purging you. He is pruning you. He is maturing you. He is developing you. He is refining you. He's making you everything you are to be. He is not done with you yet. He's restoring you, your relationship. So here we need to realize, as the mediator, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 goes on to say, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus said of himself, John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because he is the mediator. He is the redeemer, the reconciler, the restorer of our relationships. So he has come to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. He knew his purpose. You remember in the garden when the men came to take Jesus and Peter pulled out the sword and tried to defend him, when Jesus had already told him, Peter, watch and pray. Peter went to sleep and forgot to pray. And when he woke him up, he woke up in a flurry of disamazement and wonder and got all excited. He saw the crowd and pulled out. He going to show Jesus. He going to defend him. Jesus said, man, put away that sword. I'm going to get back to that. But here's my point here. He needed him to understand, what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It's for this hour I came. And he knew when his hour had come. Why? Because he knew his purpose. But there is a third reason Jesus rose from the dead. And here it is. He rose from the dead to perfect his power. To perfect his power. Now, I need you to know that this perfection has three parts. A is the first part, to perfect his power. The Bible says, after he got up, at the end of this chapter, Matthew 28, verse 18, that he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Most of the other translations use the word for power, authority. Authority. They use the word authority because this word power here is translated as exousia. Some say exousia, but it's exousia. And it means authority that has been delegated for the most part. But it's important to recognize that it is also the word power for dunamis, which of course is the ability to accomplish things. It's from the root word that we get the word dynamite from. And so this usage, however, deals with both. It is only in the Amplified Bible is this term used both ways. The Amplified Bible says, all authority, all power of rule is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I don't know if you caught that. Let me go back again. All authority and all power of rule is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What does this mean? It's important to recognize at this time after the resurrection Jesus now has the power that he had in part, that was the anointing for the assignment's accomplishment. In other words, God gave him enough power to do everything he needed to do here on planet Earth. Why? Because on planet Earth, he was functioning as, yes, the Son of God, but also as the Son of Man. So as the Son of Man, God had to put what's called a governor on his power or his strength. So he was given limited power as the Son of Man, though as the Son of God, now fulfilling all that God had given him to do, God placed all the power in his hand. Go back to Matthew 26, verse 53 again. Remember when Peter pulled out that sword, Jesus said, "Man, put that sword away. Don't you know I could call my Father? One call, that's all." Mars Bart got that from Jesus. "Know ye not that he would send me more than 12 legions of angels?" Now, historians say that that was a group of men that came to get him. When we read the text, we might not be clear on the fact it wasn't about 30 or 40 men that came. It was, again, all of the people whom the chief priests had conspired with to get him, including parts of the Roman army. Some theologians say it was up to 600 men who had come to get him in the Garden of Gethsemane to take him to be crucified. So when Peter saw that, he knew it was fighting time. But Peter didn't have the ability to go against those, and Jesus knew his hour had come. But he wanted Peter to know that if he knew that this was not his time, he didn't need Peter's help when he could call God to do what he needed him to do. Now, listen at this. Because Jesus had to call the Father for power to do what needed to be done for the assignment, he makes clear, "I could call my Father and he could give me more than 12 legions." What is a legion? It was 6,000 soldiers, or in this case, angels. Well, multiply 6,000 times 12, and you get 72,000. Jesus said, "I could call my Father, and he could start off with 72,000. But y'all not shouting because you don't get it yet. One angel." Come here, 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35. "One angel in one night slew 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. He said, I can call my Father and he could give me more than 72,000 angels who had firepower enough, each one of them, to slay 185,000 men in one night." Let me help you put this in perspective. Jesus was saying, "I could call and get so much firepower down here that these 72,000 angels could slay 13,320,000,000 people on planet Earth." Historians say that in Jesus' time, there were only 300 million people worldwide. Our world population today is only 8,300,000,000 people. Jesus was saying in his day, he could have called 13 billion. That's 5 billion more than we've got right now. Let me say it another way. I looked up 2,000 years. How many times did you have generations in 2,000 years? Well, between the years of 25 and 30 counted as a generation. That meant in 2,000 years, that would be anywhere from 25 to 30 generations in 2,000 years. Stay with me now. Jesus' firepower, being able to slay 13,320,000,000, meant that he could slay 44 and a third generations. Let me finish explaining. Jesus came through 42 generations. It would be 2 1/3 more generations than what he came through, all the way from Abraham's line down to Joseph. That meant that in 2,000 years, 30, putting it at that number, the highest number, he still had more firepower to kill 14.1 third more generations. That meant killing all of us. None of us would be here right now for 14.1 third more generations to come. Am I making sense to anybody? I'm trying to help you understand what power he could call down from his Father. But when he said, all power is in my hand, it's been given to me in heaven and earth, that meant I ain't got to call nobody. Oh, I wish I had somebody. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. But listen, secondly, he came to perfect his promise. His promise. John 14 and 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. But in Matthew 28 and 20, in the B clause, he says, lo, I am with you always. Not I will be, I am. I am perfecting my promise. Now, my brothers and sisters, I don't know if that means anything to you, but here's what it should mean. That Jesus promised never to leave you alone. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter what your struggles are, your troubles are, your trials are, your tribulations are, no matter what concerns you, he will be right there. That's why I love the song that said he was there all the time. All the can you look back over your life and say he was there? I know there are times it seemed like, it felt like he wasn't there, but all he was doing was waiting idly by for you to say Jesus. All he was doing was waiting until you invited him in your situation. He was there all the time. And he is here all the time. And he will be here all the time. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he came to perfect his promise. But I got one more and then I'm closing. He came see A was power, B was promise, but C is